Well, we are continuing on in our study of the parable of the dragnet. Let me read this parable for you once again in the two verses that follow it. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." So we have been talking about the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of Christ's grace, which is like a dragnet. And the dragnet is the gospel and the word of God, particularly the word concerning the kingdom of Christ and how sinners are brought into it. If that is the case, then the sea into which the dragnet is cast must be the whole world in which sinful men live. And this shows us that all mankind needs Christ. As all of the word pictures presented in Christ's parables must be understood in the context of how they are presented in the Old Testament scriptures, it will be good to look at some verses to establish this truth. And so I want you to turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 57 and verses 20 and 21. Isaiah 57 and verses 20 and 21. It says here, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." Now, notice it says here that the wicked are like the troubled sea. The wicked are not the troubled sea. They are like it. And they are like it in that they are in it, like fish live in water. Because of this environment which is in their souls and bodies, mankind without Christ's grace are like the troubled sea. In their souls they are troubled. They're troubled by sin in their nature and sin in their environment, the world. And they know nothing different unless they are caught in the net of the gospel. They cannot find rest for their souls because they live in this sea. The waters of the sea of sin in their hearts cast up mire and dirt, the filth and pollution of sin. So the remedy for this troubling and defiled state of every person's heart cannot be found in themselves. I hope that you can see this, for it says here, "There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." But the remedy is found for us in verses 18 and 19 of this same chapter, Isaiah 57, where it says, "I have seen his ways, and I will heal him, and I will also lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him." So these verses are set in the context of a backsliding believer in this chapter, but they can very definitely be being spoken of concerning someone who our God would have come to saving faith in him as well. Every sinner needs to be saved. Every sinner must be healed of their wounds of sin. And yes, even their death in trespasses and sins. They must find peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the offer of the gospel is put out to all men promiscuously, so that according to God's purpose and mercy and grace, they might be saved. John Calvin says, most appropriately, therefore, as the prophet compared them, the wicked, to a stormy and troubled sea. Whoever then wishes to avoid these alarms and this frightful agony of heart, let him not reject that peace which the Lord offers to him. There can be no middle ground between them, for if you do not lay aside sinful desires and accept of this peace, you must unavoidably be miserably distressed and tormented. If you look at the rest of this passage from verse 15 on to verse 18, it says this, "For thus says the High and Holy One, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would fail before me and souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness, I was angry and struck him. I hid and was angry, and he went on backsliding in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and will heal him, and I will also lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners." So as I've said to you, you see here in these verses that the context is backsliding. Old Testament backsliding, no doubt, but nevertheless, this could be somebody who knows the Lord. And we need to see and understand that backsliders are those who have either made profession of faith or they have not, but nevertheless, they are backslidden. And whether they know the Lord or not is the real question here. Because the Lord says, "I have seen his ways and will heal him, and I will also lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners." So here's a person who went on backsliding in his heart, and God was angry with him as regarding this. So it appears to be a person who truly knew the Lord, but for the iniquity of his covetousness, the Lord is dealing with him and chastising him. And he says, "I have seen his ways and I will heal him and lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners." So you see the faithfulness of God. Once a person comes to know the Lord, then he creates for them the fruit of lips, that is peace. Peace to him who is far off. That even includes us Gentiles in a prophetic sense here in this passage. And to him who is near, that is those who are Jewish and had heard about the Lord from their youth on up. So we need to understand that this sea of sin that we're talking about here in this parable is the realm in which all men find themselves in by nature, and we live and move in that realm until by faith in Jesus Christ, by believing the gospel, we are brought into the Lord's dragnet of the gospel, and we are caught by someone preaching the gospel to us, and then we believe it. This is brought about by our being given life in connection with our hearing the truth of the gospel, and then we are brought into a new realm, and we die to sin, and we begin to live to God. I think the point of all that I'm saying thus far is that we need to remember that our God is a holy God. And the only reason that he's not angry with us forever is because he has given us grace through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have believed in him. So when you come to know the Lord, then the Lord's anger is taken away from you, And if He is angry with you in a chastising sense, it is only for a little while. He will not contend forever, it says in Isaiah 57:16, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would fail before me, and the souls which I have made, spirit small s, would fail before me. The spirit of that person being chastised for the iniquity of his covetousness, his wanting those earthly and worldly things that God hasn't given to him, his desiring to have things that God doesn't want him to have. So he hides from him, and he was angry with this backsliding person in the way of his heart. But he says here, I have seen his ways and will heal him. And you notice the three things that God will do for him. He will lead him, he will restore comforts to him and to his mourners. Healing him, leading him, and restoring comforts to him. God is faithful in all of these good things that He does for His people. But the reason that we have all this good work in us is because of what it says in Romans chapter 6 and verses 1 to 8. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus, Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died, we believe that we shall also live with Him. So we see here that this is really a precious, precious passage of Scripture, which talks about the new believer in Christ, the one who has believed in Christ and has come to know the Lord. And the question is being asked by the Apostle Paul, shall we continue in sin then that grace may abound? In other words, because grace is such abundant in our Lord Jesus Christ, shall we take advantage of it and continue on in sin, continuing to pursue those things in sin that we once did, even though we have been changed in our heart, that somehow that we can hold on to the world and the flesh in a continuing sense, as we once were dominated by it? Oh no, this cannot be. And Paul says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So that's an amazing thing, isn't it? And when it says that you have died to sin, what does that mean? Well, he goes on to explain that in these verses. And he says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? That is, spiritually we were baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ's death, and therefore we were buried with Him, even as Christ was buried in the tomb 3 days, 2 days, and rose on the third day, that through baptism into His death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, that by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So when Christ died, He died for sins once for all, but He was buried in the tomb, and we were buried with Him, spiritually speaking, through baptism into death. That is, when we're converted, we're spiritually baptized by the Spirit into His death, and that is pictured in water baptism as well, in the lowering of the person under the water. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So we have died to sin, that we might no longer be slaves to sin, it says there in verse 6. We have been united together in the likeness of His death. Certainly we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Our old man was crucified with Him on the cross, that the body of sin, the whole body of our sin, might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Now, when it says the whole body of sin might be done away with, it means the dominion of sin might be taken away initially in our conversion, but that in the mortification of sin, that it might progressively be weakened and destroyed, and that eventually it might be entirely done away with when Christ comes back and we receive the redemption of our body. For he who has died, that is with Christ, has been freed from sin. So the person who knows the Lord has been set free from sin. And if we have died with Christ, we no longer have to practice sin. We believe that we shall also live with Christ. We've been raised up from the dead, our spiritual death first of all, and eventually our physical death. And Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Wow, is this ever good stuff that we're looking at here this morning. So we need to understand these things in terms of what we're talking about here, in terms of the sea that men are in. Men are in a sea by nature, the sea of sin. And they live and dwell in this, and they are actually one with the Lord in this sea. And we need to understand this, is that that is the environment of people around us, that people cannot become spiritually minded on their own. And they're in this different environment of sin from what God and Christ are in, that is the perfect, holy place and persons that they are of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that they, sinners, need to be caught in the gospel net and be brought out of this sinful sea. And we're going to see how that takes place in our next study by looking at the book of Ezekiel. So we need to understand that this is the way that it is with all men, that they're like this in their nature. They need to be fished out from this sea. Now you'll notice here, if we go back to Isaiah 57, 20 and 21, that it says that the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters are casting up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And when we think about this, we have to think about this in terms of people around us being troubled because of their sin. Now, they may not realize that they're troubled. They may actually be like fish who are pleasantly swimming around in the water. They like the light of the sun coming filtering down through the water, and they play with each other and they enjoy it for the most part. But it says here that the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. And so we see here that wicked people have no real rest for their souls. They have no place to lay their head, so to speak, or their heart. They can't really understand the meaning of their existence. And they're troubled by it, trying to find meaning in life, trying to find real satisfaction in life, trying to find lasting pleasure, trying to accomplish all of their goals in life. And yet they're not able to do it entirely, and they keep striving to do it, but it troubles them. And then their own sinful hearts trouble them. The thoughts of their hearts, if they're at all sensitive to the idea of sin, many people don't even know themselves to be sinners. And they're like fish in that respect. And they go around eating one another up, devouring one another, hurting one another, not thinking about one another. And so we see that that's just not a good thing. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time of thinking about the sea of sin, and how awful it is to just simply be swimming all your life in the sea of sin and not to know the rivers of living waters in your soul. So we pray and ask that you will help each one of us to understand how we can communicate these truths to people around us in such a way that they will want to come to Christ in accordance with your good working in their heart. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.